This is episode 71, recorded September 7th, 2012. Peck and Pokes at The Mystery of the Maple Syrup.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Peck and Pokes at, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Peck and Pokes at. I am your immutable and unmutable and slightly tanned host. I've been doing a lot of walking out in the sun, and I see that I am a little bit more tan, a little bit more golden than I normally am. So I don't have to quite stick a fork in me just yet. Joining us tonight, before I get started, there are one quick programming note. This is the last week we're going to be over here at Justin.TV. So next week we're going to be switching over to Ustream. So the URL for the show will be Ustream.TV/channel/ Peck and Pokes at. So be sure to set up an account over at Ustream so you can come in and join us in the chat room, and we'll be able to chat with you then. So if you come to Justin.TV next week, we will not be here. And for good reasons, too. Joining us tonight out on the far east coast, or actually out on the far west coast, rather, out on the far west. And the left coast is Medusa Rance.
Hello there from the west coast.
Yes. And joining us over on the far east coast is, and his new pad is, Joe Unseen.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, y'all.
Okay.
Where did that come from?
I have no idea.
It came from Staten Island.
Sheboygan, baby.
Wu-Tang Clan.
Anyway. We have a lot of good stories for tonight. So let's get into our first topic. Nowadays, if you need an organ, you would have to sit and wait on a long line and wait for somebody else to basically, a lot of times, basically croak off before you can actually get a replacement organ like a liver or a lung or a heart in some cases. But soon these days are going to be behind us, that they're working on ways so instead of having to wait for an organ to be donated, we can just grow them from scratch. The Columbia researcher Anita Tartan believes that we have finally gotten to the area where the engineered tissues will ultimately replace kidney growth in the lab, and that's just the beginning. So, and they're working on right now for heart muscles and other organs will eventually be down the road. So, replacement parts may not be a big issue at some point. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's very exciting when medicine makes a breakthrough, and this, if it pans out, could be huge.
Mm-hmm.
The article talks about how we may be on the verge of a third age of medicine.
Mm-hmm.
The first age is the primitive understanding of our bodies. The second is modern medicine up to organ transplants and all the wonderful things we can do now. And so the third would be generating new human tissue.
Yes.
And that's just fantastic. I mean, this technology is still a little bit ways out. They said that they probably won't be able to generate new heart tissue for like maybe 15 or 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But still, that the fact that that's a goalpost, that they might be able to reach that eventually, really exciting.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what's kind of neat is because they're able to shrink down they're actually able to shrink down the times it takes to discover new therapies as well. So mm-hmm. We could have new techniques for all kinds of surgeries or even therapies for anything else. Medusa, your thoughts?
Well, I'm really... Joe said everything I wanted to say. Dang it. But
we think alike.
Yes.
Great minds. But I was really taken by the young lady who gave this, she's a senior fellow at Columbia University lab for stem cells and tissue engineering. and she has her PhD thesis. She grew cardiac cells that beat like tiny hearts. You know, I look at her, I'm a grandmother, you guys, and she's old enough to be my granddaughter. And she just doesn't have one degree. She has her BS from the Cooper Union for the Advancement of Science and Arts. I'm going someplace with this. Her MS from Mass Institute, from MIT, Electrical Engineering. Her MS from Columbia University, Biomedical. And her PhD from Columbia, Biomedical. And I can't tell you all the different fellowships. And she's a Fulbright scholar. She's just brilliant. What can I say? This is the kind of young person that we want to give these student loans to. We mm-hmm. want to give her longer. You know, I was really inspired by the DNC. That's where I was going completely different with this. And we want to give our young people in America the chance to grow and to take on jobs like this, mm-hmm. to tackle on big issues like this that, like Joe said, are going to go amazing places. And she's a smart cookie. She's already, you know,
mm-hmm.
looking into those areas as well.
Right.
So I was very much impressed with her and with the progress she had made.
Right. But anyway, if she's, you know, getting into this field, then she'll be on the cutting edge.
Well, there won't be any trouble now with the rejecting of tissue in a body.
Good point.
Yep.
That was the big point that they made.
Yep.
That I just recalled now. And that is such an issue. I only have one kidney. I would love to have a second kidney, you guys.
Yeah.
Maybe a third one.
I could use an extra arm now, Dad.
So I drink more. Yeah. Third kidney, so I could drink more moonshine.
You'll need two livers then also.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Have an extra liver, you know. If you watch Star Trek, you know, the Klingons, they have a redundancy for every organ.
I'll ingratiate myself to her. I think she is a Klingon, though.
Okay.
She's so darn smart.
There you go.
Anyway. That's what I have to say about that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into our next story here. Many years ago, back in the 70s, there was a TV show called The $6 Million Man. And he was in some kind of...
$6 Million Man.
Yes, The $6 Million Man. And he was involved in some kind of accident, or you know, in the way the TV show goes, and they said, "Well, we can rebuild him." And one of the things they gave him was a bionic eye, so he could like zoom in on stuff and whatever. And scientists today have actually done this. They have actually created a bionic eye, and it's working. It's working. They have it implanted. It's a beta, basically. But the scientists in Australia, they've basically funded this to the science consortium. It said it had a surgically installed, and it's an early prototype robotic eye in a woman with hereditary sight loss caused by degenerative retinitis pigmentosa, if I said that right. It's basically a pre-bionic eye. At some point, we're going to have people who have eye loss or whatever for whatever reason, and they'll be able to put this in there, and they're going to be able to get vision out of it again, which is really cool. I can't we're growing new tissue, but we haven't grown new eyes. Eyes are very complex, but to be able to put in a something into the back of inside the head there, and then activate it so you can actually be able to see, that is just amazing. That is just amazing. Joe, your thoughts?
Steve Austin.
Yes.
Astronaut. A man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. Anyway.
sorry.
I had to Google that, actually. This is really exciting. This is a prototype device that needs to be attached to an image processor in a lab to work. But what they're learning from this device is how to make better ones by better understanding how the brain processes visual information. The hope is to build a better eye capable of recognizing faces and even reading. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty exciting.
Yes.
Large print,
but...
What's that?
It's large print. They'll be able to read with this.
Right, exactly. The article said large print. But yeah, I mean, it's like anything else. Like, they build a big, clunky, expensive one first, and everybody buys it, and then they come out with a smaller, cheaper, better one later, and everybody else has to buy it.
Yes.
So it makes America great.
Yes. Well, actually, exactly. This is in Australia, so...
Nobody outsources jobs.
Yeah. You know, it makes me wonder, though. Because these are the kind of things I think about when, you know, I'm sitting at home alone and the power goes out or the internet goes out. Either way. I was thinking, what if they're able to, you know, able to hook up something so you can actually transmit what you're seeing? And, you know, there was actually a TV show many years ago. It was called Babylon 5. And one of the characters had his eye removed, and they had the replacement. He could pop it in, and it would actually transmit. So he could like set it on a shelf, and you could see what was transmitting from the eye. So
it's very cool.
Yeah, that was just sci-fi. But if you could imagine that, have the eye in there, and then have it connected, and then it could be transmitting out, then you could. Basically, you could be your own wireless camera, so you could record stuff. And I'm waxing into the sci-fi here, but I mean this is Star Trek.
You know, the lowly communicator turned into the mighty cell phone.
That's right, the communicator. That's exactly where the cell phone came from the communicator. Mm-hmm. So it's based on, you know, science fiction has become science fact in one way or the other. But anyway. Kind of getting off topic here. Sorry. Medusa, you went, did you, or did you not? No, Medusa,
no,
your thoughts.
I did not, because Eric keeps saying everything I want to.
Joe, that's Joe, you mean.
Joe.
Evolve. That's all right. I called him Todd a couple weeks ago, so don't worry about it.
Joe Bob. If I refer to you as Joe Bob, it's easier. Then I think I'm related to you. Anyway, Joe Bob keeps saying everything I want to say.
Yeah.
I think it's. I get excited over how thrilled the patient is when she sees. She's described seeing a partial image of something,
yeah,
or partial text of something, and it is. I think this is going to be grown, and especially with the article beforehand, we are working. You know, forget. Cosmetic surgery, what that can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
Look what technology can actually do for you.
Right.
We take blind children. We could take blind children and they could see again.
Yeah.
They could see for the first time in their lives, you know.
Yes.
It's an amazing technology that has limitless applications, you know. We just need the time and the funding to be able to explore these things further.
Right.
And I hope that happens.
Yeah, I eventually think it will happen. I mean, there's no telling what new technologies. I mean, sci-fi changes constantly, so they're always inventing new things for the show to become that they would hope someday would become reality. And so this is just possibly another item that could become possible. I mean, who knows what's going to become possible in, you know, 10, 50 years from now. I mean, if you look back even 50 years ago, the stuff that we have now, it's like, I hate to use this word, but it's magic by comparison. There's a saying, any civilization that's technologically advanced enough to something that's in the past would look like it's magic. And that's basically what it is.
Well, sure, somebody can take from scratch and create tiny heartbeats. That's a patch on a hole in an aorta or some other heart valve. You know, that's what that kind of technology is.
Yeah.
And I just look at all the life possibilities that these new technologies are offering, and it's not so far fetched anymore.
Right.
The science fiction. It's starting to become science real. That's
yes.
how I look at it. This is science real.
I'm a huge fan of science real.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We're all three fans.
Yes. And science, if you look back, you know, the early 1900s, for example, they had a movie about some people who were shot to the moon. 60 years later.
Voyage de la Lune.
Yes. And they, exactly. That's it's the image where they shoot the spaceship to the moon, and it looks like the moon has actually got a thing in its eye, like, oh, like this. So.
It was the way Vol said it. But the French accent. Voyage de la Lune.
Yes. It's a really old movie.
I just watched Silent Running recently. That was another good film.
Is it another sci-fi movie?
Yeah, Silent Running.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bruce Dern's in it.
Yeah, I didn't know. I've never heard of it myself, so I didn't know.
Yeah, they're going to blow up all the plants that he's taken all this time to grow in space.
Mm-hmm.
And so he kills everybody else on the spaceship, and he sets out on his own with one of the pods of plants.
Right.
And it's fully capable of sustaining an ecosystem and everything.
Right.
And he's grown it from scratch. It's a really amazing movie. I like it.
Cool.
I like it just as much as I like Space Odyssey.
Right.
2001. You know, and I know a lot of people don't like that, but
okay.
It's my inner geek coming out.
No problem. Okay, well, let's get into our next topic.
Politics! 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 Politics!
Earlier this week, we talked about Ohio and how the Republicans have basically tried to block voters from getting able to get to the polls several days early and out in Ohio and several other states. Now, a federal judge has stepped in and said, this is not right. And a federal judge stepped in and said, this isn't right, and has restored early voting in Ohio. What's kind of nice about this is that basically everybody's going to get a chance to vote. The Republicans, they don't like it when people vote, so because they know they can suppress, when they suppress the vote, they get more people for their side. Since they have struck this down and they're going to be allowing the state's attorney general out in Ohio, who basically first tried to do this thing where they said that you cannot have early voting for just in the Democratic areas, but early voting in the Republican areas. So they said, all right, well, then we're just going to make it even. Nobody gets early voting. Now, because the federal judge stepped up and said, you're not going to do that either. You've got to let everybody have votes. Because back in 2010, when they had the last voting, people were still waiting in line to vote. And it was a big problem. Since they are allowing people to have these extra 3 days now, the lines hopefully will be shorter, and everybody will be able to vote. And we take voting in this country pretty seriously. I mean, I like to think so anyway. And everybody should have the right to vote. One of the things also, before I move on here to everybody, is that they had, out in Ohio, another law that they basically fixed is that if you go to a polling area and you don't know that you're at the right, you get sent to somebody else because the poll worker said, oh, no, you're at the wrong place. You need to go 6 blocks south of here to that other polling place. You get there, you find out you go to vote, and you don't ask if you're at the right place, but the poll worker told you you're at the wrong place. And they end up throwing out your ballot. Oh, well, this one's not supposed to be registered, is not registered here, you're not supposed to be voting here, they threw those votes out. Now they're allowing them, because if they determine that the poll worker had made a mistake and sent them to the wrong place to vote, tough, they still got their voice heard. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, I saw this on TV and hope that you saw the story, because we did cover this on the show before. According to this article, this is a sixth ruling to overturn voter suppression.
Mm-hmm.
There's been two rulings in Florida and even a ruling in Texas, which struck down the photo ID requirement. And I wanted to read a quote from the article because I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Penda Hare, a veteran civil rights lawyer for the Advancement Project, said, "It shows judges take very seriously the right to vote as fundamental in democracy. And when politicians manipulate the rules for political purposes, their rules are not entitled to the normal deference." They started passing all these laws and everybody was throwing up their hands going, "Oh no, what are we going to do?" In comes the judges and helped us out. So
right. Unfortunately, out in Pennsylvania, the judge out there, he went the other direction. He said, "No, you're not going to allow early voting," or the vote was the thing with voter IDs, I believe, with that one.
Unfortunate.
Yes, it is very unfortunate. And as far as I know, that the judge on that case, he's a Republican, so he's not voting with his he's not judging with his head. He's judging with his party, and that's wrong. I hope that they're going to, from what I understand, they're appealing this, so I hope that they are able to get in there and let people vote. They should be allowed to vote. That's all there is to it. Medusa, your thoughts?
Well, he took my quote, and that's my major complaint.
Oh.
But behind every good campaign, tirelessly working, are lawyers and their assistants to get these kind of laws overturned or to get these kind of laws tweaked in the benefit of the voter. I found it, this is going a tiny bit into left field, but I was very shocked that Romney did not once mention our troops during his Republican National Convention.
Right.
Yeah, what was up with that?
Yeah.
What was up with that? I mean, we were so proud to have our troops, you know, at the DNC every time we said the Pledge of Allegiance, but in any regard, we often view lawyers as the scum of the earth, but and most of them deserve that, but tirelessly working are men and women like this to make sure that our voting rights are in fact preserved.
Right.
And, you know, it's to those kind of people that I tip my hat to.
Right.
That would be how I basically feel about this article here.
Yeah.
I'm tipping my hat to them for getting my back so that, you know, I can stay home and vote instead of having to go out.
Right.
So,
and you get a chance to get your absentee ballot in, when you can. Instead, this way, you know, you're not pressed to try to stand in line for hours and hours and hours on end to try to be able to vote. And I think that's what we're you basically hit it on the head. Those men and women who go overseas to fight these people and the enemy, whoever it is, and they come back and they say, you know, we're going to suppress the vote. It's like, then what the hell are they fighting for?
Exactly. They're sworn to uphold the Constitution.
Right.
So
I think the Republicans have a whole other Constitution, and it's just me. So,
and to leave the troop side of it was just a major faux pas, major foobar.
Yes. So, but anyway, well, let's get into our next story here. Speaking of, there's been a little chit chat and with Mitt Romney and everything. And Mitt Romney, when we had the hurricane come through down in Louisiana, because, you know, the Christian right down there says, "Oh, they prayed it away from the Republican National Convention." You know, so, you know, they did the nice thing and sent it to someplace else where other people can get harmed by it. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Anyway, Mitt Romney goes down to Louisiana why, I don't know, for a photo op mainly. He goes down there, he looks around the place, and he, you know, he's looking over the damage, which is kind of stupid because there's nothing he can do about it. What is he going to do about it? Go, okay, I'm going to go, there's the flood water, I'll buy the flood water, or not buy the flood water, I'll hire the flood water, then I'll fire it, and then it'll go away.
He's going to buy the flood water.
He's going to buy the flood water. Actually, I was going to say he's going to hire the flood water so he can fire it and make it go away. So he's good at firing people. He likes to fire people, so he can hire the flood water and fire the flood water. So
he can outsource the flood water to China.
There you go.
That's right. If they collect our debt, they can collect our flood water.
But
good point, Joe. Good point.
But the thing is, somebody came over there and asked him. He says, "This is in the quote." Says somebody, his name is Chevrolero, said she told Romney, says, "quote I lost everything," unquote, and that the presidential contender advised her on how to get assistance. He said, "quote He said he was going to do his best that he could do for us," unquote. She said, and then he says again. Quote, he just told me to, there's assistance out there, unquote.
You need to put some pump in there.
Yeah. And then
he just told me, that there's assistance out there.
Yeah. Well, I've never heard, other than Eric doesn't have a deep accent, so I don't hear that southern accent from him. But he said, basically, quote, he said, go home and call 211. Unquote. That's a public service number offered in many states. Apparently, well, the thing is, though, this lady, her house is underwater. Where's she going to call from? Really? I'll go to the neighbors. Oh, wait, they're underwater, too. I'll have to go 5 miles out of my way to get assistance. I mean, please. I mean, first off, and I saw this in the comments, is that what's he going to do now? He says he went down there basically just for a photo op, and that's it. Romney doesn't give a crap about anybody. If you think if he gives two squats about you, you are deluded.
You are deluded. If he wanted to help somebody, he would roll up his sleeves and get a shovel and start mucking mud out.
You think he would do that? No. It's just like if you go to a brand new dig site where they build it, put a new building in or whatever, that you get the people, they show up with the gold the gold shovels, and they all like take a different dirt. Oh, we helped! And then all the real people come in and they do all the real work. That's basically all he was down there. He was down there with his gold plated shovel or solid gold shovel. You know, knowing Romney, he probably got a gold solid gold shovel there, and he probably took a shovel, took his picture, shoveled it, took a picture of that, and then left. If he even did that, I bet you he wouldn't even get, if he went down, I don't know, I guess by helicopter or whatever, he probably didn't even get his hands dirty at all. That would be beneath him. Beneath him. Joe, your thoughts?
Well, you know, 211 is the emergency relief number in many states, like you said. So I'm not surprised he told her to use that. What I am surprised about is he didn't tell her to just grab a pillow and sleep in her car elevator. I mean, car elevators should be tall enough where they can get you out of the flood water.
Oh yeah.
And if her car elevator is broken, she could sleep in her neighbor's car elevator. You know, I mean, somebody's car elevator's got to work in the flood zone.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean,
how else do you get your cars above the flood?
Get another car elevator.
Oh, well, you know, he thinks everybody's got multiple homes. Well, you just go to your house in the Hamptons. That's the other option. You know, you don't like it there, or you not like it there, but your house is underwater. Just go to your other home in the Hamptons. So, please, really, many people don't have homes. Many people can't afford a home. Many people like myself, I rent. That's it. That's all I can afford. I don't have multiple places where I rent. I just rent one place because this is where I live. Medusa, your thoughts?
Well, the guy's just out of touch, but so was Jody Chiarello, because at the end of this, you know, she said that he really didn't provide her with any information. Let me see, let me go up here. You know, the headline reads, Mitt Romney to flood victim, go home and call 211.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the very end, on the visit from the pair of Republicans, Jody Chiarello said about Romney, he's good. He'll do the best for us. He has the best interests at heart. I thought he'd be more like a politician, but it was more understanding and caring. End quote.
Yes.
So what is up with people? She didn't get it at all that he didn't care about her in one iota. So it was all lost on her. By the time I got to the end of the article, I was just flummoxed.
Yeah.
She totally doesn't get it. That he really does want her to call 211. And there really won't be any aid there. And he really doesn't give a flying flip about Jody Chiarello.
Right.
She should get a clue.
Yeah. There's a lot of cognitive dissonance, especially within the Republican Party, because they think just because he shows up, he cares.
Exactly. Just because he shows up, he's a nice guy. He talked to me. I must be special.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is good.
Yep.
You know, I'm using the accent just to be a little bit funny, but in all seriousness, it's the allure of the politician, the way they're able to almost mesmerize a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it had been Bill Clinton, she would have said the same thing about him. It doesn't matter. It was a politician.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, though, and you know this was just a photo op. This is the reason why you know this was a photo op, because, you know, the president's busy. He's besides running for re-election, he's doing other things. He doesn't have the time to go to someplace immediately. I mean, he does make his plans. You know, he's got to get it in his work schedule or whatever, so get it worked out. He went about a week or 2 weeks beforehand. Just ahead of behind Romney did. So it wasn't that he didn't, that the president didn't care.
Yeah.
You just he's got a lot of things on his plate. So he would have made his way down there. He made it down his way down there as soon as he could. So I am just at least he went down there. The president can actually do something. He can actually say, okay, well, we're going to give you federal funds so you can, you know, get help for the to get the water out of your house, or
FEMA get busy.
And get FEMA busy. And you know, here is the funniest part. Here's the funniest part about this. FEMA is one, if Romney gets into office, FEMA is going to be one of the things that he's going to shut down, or he's going to cut the budget for FEMA. So when we have a hurricane or a tornado or whatever hits another place, is FEMA going to be there? No. Because, our funds are gone. We just can't help you. Sorry. It's not. We don't have a budget for that anymore. So,
and Mitt can go stay with his cousin Biff in the Hamptons.
Yep. Go stay with your cousin in the Hamptons. Yeah. You don't need FEMA. You can do it yourself. For all those people out there that say they want small government, this is exactly why small government doesn't work. I mean, I'm not saying I want huge government either, but the government has to stay in step with the growth population. People who are out there, they say they want to, like I said, they want to get rid of government. Those people are idiots. Government is there for a reason. Otherwise, look at it, what would happen?
It's the safety net.
Exactly. It is. It's there for the people. I was having this thought today, actually. I'd like to take all those people who the main anarchists, and they say they are the people who just want small government, put them on an island, and then let them, you know, start up their own little small government, and let's see how long they last before they end up killing each other or dying of starvation because they have no roads, or they can't get food to all the people that are in their charge, or there's no hospital because no one gives a shit. Anyway, sorry. Off the tear.
Well, they'd have to have a conch shell. And yes. whoever held the conch shell got to speak.
Yes.
And they'd have to put the pig's head on a stick. Yeah, I read that book.
That's Lord of the Flies. Maybe these people need to read Lord of the Flies. This is exactly what they need to
that's
do.
That's the only book they get.
Yes, and that's the only book they get.
That's their
of course
Bible.
They, you know, of course, they would try to take that as the way to build a civilization. Idiots. Anyway. Government is there for a reason, people. It's there for a reason. So don't think that for a minute you're going to change anybody's mind by thinking that you need smaller government because, like I said, I don't want huge government. I want one that's in step with the population growth to help us. That's what they're there for. If you don't like government, don't drive on the roads. Don't drive on the sidewalk either, but don't drive on the roads. You know, walk on the grass everywhere. You don't get to drive on the roads, don't get to walk on sidewalks. And then you tell me how much you dislike government. And don't go to the hospital because, you know, hospitals are helped by the government. Don't go to the hospital. Let's see how long you last. Really. I want to see how long you last. Anyway, another tear. Anyway, let's get on to the next topic. Give me the news. There's a lot of things that people steal, you know, because they are valuable. So you can... You know, there's a black market for just about anything. If you go out, you lose your iPhone, there's a black market. Some people, you know, gonna hawk a bunch of iPhones or any electrical devices or cars, shoes, just about anything. This one is a little on the strange side. There is apparently somebody had taken about 10 million pounds of syrup. That's a lot of pancakes to put syrup on. This is
not just any syrup, maple syrup.
Maple. Not just any maple syrup. Syrup that came from Quebec. So it's Canadian maple syrup. So,
Quebecian.
Yes. And they said that it was worth it more than $30 million is about 10 million pounds of syrup. They said that basically, the article here reads that basically what was stolen was one-tenth of Quebec's 2012 harvest and more than 25% of the Federation's stock. That's considerable. That's 25%? It's not going to, they're saying that's not going to affect the general public, so you can still go out and buy your syrup. But down the road... You know, people who use the syrup in foods or whatever. I don't know if they're using rubber tires or anything. You want some pancake syrup for that? No, I'm just kidding. The syrup, it's used for many other industrial aspects as well. And many people don't realize that. But if someone is out there and they've taken this syrup, you know, where are you going to store 10 million barrels? You know, 10 million, I don't know, 10 million barrels.
Yeah, you know, it's cold in Reykjavik.
Yes. Well, that's next story. This is up in Quebec. Reykjavik's actually in Iceland. Anyway.
He mentioned Reykjavik in this article.
That's the next article.
Okay, I stand corrected.
Okay.
I'm easy. Write that on a wall somewhere.
Yeah, anyway, but this... That is still a lot of syrup. I mean, what are you going to do with it all? Really? Come on now. Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah, my dad once told me that never steal anything small.
Right.
You're going to go to jail for the same amount of time, so might as well steal syrup at $30 million a chunk. I mean,
go for the gold.
Exactly. I mean, they're like you said, there's a black market for everything, and this is real maple syrup. This is the stuff that comes from trees, not the corn syrup crap. So
right.
Yeah. I mean, the syrup was stolen from the Federation of Quebec Maple Syrup Producers, which bills themselves as the keeper of the global strategic maple syrup reserve. That I found very interesting in the article. This is a crisis on international levels.
Yes.
The balance of maple syrup power in this hemisphere will shift. If wars have been fought over soccer games, what about syrup?
Oh,
man. What about syrup, Packard?
I don't know.
What horrible doom will this bring upon us? Clearly somebody has sticky fingers.
Oh, nice pun. Nice pun.
I can't top that. That's not
the
fair.
Sticky, I like the sticky fingers comment. That's nice. That's great.
All you have to do, like, all right, everybody line up, put out your hands, sniff, sniff. All right, you're good. What'd you have for breakfast this morning? Oh, really?
Lots of pancakes. I had lots of pancakes. I think it had French toast, too, I suppose, you know.
Oh, God.
I don't even like syrup. Liar!
I don't even like maple syrup.
That's what this is. It's maple syrup. Medusa, your thoughts?
I don't like maple syrup.
You don't like maple syrup?
How can you not like maple syrup?
They can keep their maple syrup.
I actually used to know somebody that was allergic to real maple syrup, but they could eat the mass-produced fake maple syrup.
Yeah, because it's not real. That's good fake stuff.
Yeah, the good fake stuff. You know, I could never wrap my mind around that. It's like, you could eat the fake stuff, but not the real stuff. I mean,
well, the real stuff is expensive. I go up to New Hampshire
fake
a lot.
Fake is
and
always better. Yeah.
Every shop sells real maple syrup. I've actually walked through a maple farm, and all the trees are connected with little plastic hoses, like 10 feet up, so you can't touch them. And every autumn, when the sap falls from the leaves into the roots, they collect up all the sap. It takes tons of sap to boil down into the syrup. So
yes,
it
does.
Is labor intensive.
It is very labor intensive. If there are here in Wisconsin, we do that too. We have a lot of syrup places too. And there is a lot of videos you could probably go watch if you were so inclined. I've seen the process, not firsthand, but I've seen it on TV. And they boil it down, and they boil it down more, and they boil it down more, and they boil it down more, until you finally get the syrup that you know, and it's nice and thick. Otherwise, if you tried pouring the stuff directly down, you'd just be water, and that's all there is to it. But well, just are your thoughts.
I think Vonnie would be with me on this one where, you know, the way the trees are connected is so coma-like. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. The poor trees.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of.
It doesn't hurt the tree. It doesn't really hurt the tree when they do that because it's just a little tapper. It's about this big.
Because it's in a coma. That's why.
Well...
A buddy of mine makes his own syrup. He has a couple of taps that he puts on the local trees in his backyard, and he doesn't get to make much. He gets to make like a vial of his own syrup, but he does it himself.
I'm sorry for them. Yeah. I'm sorry for their loss.
For the trees' loss?
No, they're going to make more maple syrup.
Oh, yeah.
They still have a lot of it.
Yeah, well, the thing is, though, maple syrup it can only be harvested at a certain time of the year. It's not like, you know, they can just harvest it all year long. It's the syrup comes out of these trees only at certain times of the year. And I just found out my producer kind of dropped me a quick note that a relative, you know, through marriage anyway, is ex-marriage now, but apparently one of their relatives, because they're related to their mother, of course, is makes their own maple syrup. So. Or makes their own syrup anyway, so...
I guess Greeks just get upset about olive oil. I don't know what to tell you.
I love olive oil.
Olive oil now, we got a problem.
Especially the olive oil that's extra virgin, you know.
That's my commentary.
Okay. All right.
I like my olive oil like the mother of Jesus, extra virgin.
Yes.
Extra virgin, I know. The voice of the Lord, what do you expect?
Right. All right, well, let's get into our next story here. A tourist was out in Iceland, and, well, apparently they lost her. There was a miscount on the bus, and they were out looking for her. And in the process, while they were looking for her, this lady had apparently changed clothes and cleaned herself up or whatever, and she had heard that somebody was missing. So she went out to join the search party. She didn't realize at the time that the person they were searching for was her. She participated in the search for herself. I mean, I've always heard people, you know, they go out and they say, well, I've got to find myself. So, you know, I tell those people, if you're going to go out and look for yourself, do yourself a favor. Buy a mirror. You can find yourself really fast. See, oh, there I am. I can see myself. Wow, that was fast.
No sympathy from Packard.
No sympathy from me, no. But, I mean, I feel sorry. It wasn't her fault. It was not her fault. She, like I said, she had changed clothes, and they said, well, they just gave a report of what she was wearing last. And she didn't connect the two that, you know, she thought, well, that could have been anybody. You know, she was wearing, you know, a certain color top, whatever, or skirt, shorts, whatever, that they were wearing up there. And she said, oh, this is somebody else. She must be wearing a similar outfit. Well, I got to find her, you know. That's the right thing to do, is that to go out and help find people if they're lost or just missing or whatever. But when it's yourself,
just
different
lost
story.
In your mind.
Yeah, you just lost yourself. So, yeah, it's an interesting story. You don't hear too much about people get lost when they're not lost. But it was actually, in this case, it was turned out it was the bus driver's kind of his fault because he miscounted. So. Yeah, it's a strange story. Of course, I like strange stories here on the show. And this is probably one of the strangest ones I've seen in a while. Joe, your thoughts?
Wherever you go, there you are.
Yep.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Oh, it sounded like you cut out again.
No, anyway, I took a drink of water.
I mean, if I was missing, I'd look for me.
Yeah.
I hold nothing against this person. I mean, sometimes I still wonder if I found myself, so.
Yeah. You know, the thing was that she didn't realize she was the one they were searching for.
Yeah, she didn't recognize the description as being her.
Right, because she had changed her clothes. And he's like, oh, well, it could have been anybody.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, oh, crap, somebody's missing. I'll help find them.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the person's name? You're kidding.
I don't think they gave the name out. I don't know if they didn't say if they gave her name out because, you know, they would have said, why are you looking for them? I'm right here.
Yeah, they didn't take their names when they got on the bus. They're like, all right, she kind of had this hat on. She was wearing this shirt. Right. And she's like, well, I'm not wearing that hat or shirt.
Oh, I'm in the death world again.
Medusa, your thoughts?
Well, I'm not as charitable as Joe. The Spartans would have tossed her off the cliff. That would have been the end of it.
What would dropped her off the cliff? You're cutting it out there, Medusa.
Everybody is. Yeah. The Spartans would have chucked her off the cliff.
Oh, I got you.
Being defective.
Yeah.
She can't find herself.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with her homing device.
Yeah.
She's a defective unit.
Yeah. Well, no, they just said that basically the only description of they gave of the lady that was missing, they didn't give a name. They just says the woman is described as Asian, about 160 centimeters, about 5'3", in dark clothing, and speaks English well. So that could, if there were several other Asian people on the bus, that could have been anybody. They didn't know. She didn't know. It's like, oh, okay, well, somebody's missing. I'm going to go help. So it's a weird situation. Oh, yeah. Out in Sydney, back into Australia, you know, they had basically helped create the bionic eye, but the doctor that's in this story, he's a religious nut, and you can find religious nuts anywhere. This particular one was a member of a conservative Christian sect and has been banned from practicing medicine after he prescribed a teenager a chemical castration drug he used as a gay cure. Really? A gay cure? I couldn't believe this. It's back in 2008, apparently. He prescribed the 18-year-old an anti-androgen therapy, cyproterone acetate, sold under the brand name of Cyrospat, in a 10-minute consultation in his home. 10 minutes consultation. I spend more time at the doctor when I go to the doctor more than 10 minutes. I mean, really? I know that a doctor's time is precious, and you can only see so many people, but 10 minutes? Really? 10 minutes. It takes more than 10 minutes. A lot more than 10 minutes. Now, before the hearing, the Professional Standards Committee, the South Wales, Mr. Caddock, admitted that he did not obtain the medical history of this poor guy, failed to conduct a physical examination, and also did not take an adequate sexual history or to arrange a follow-up for an appointment for the patient. Really? See, the religious nuts out there are so hell-bent on getting rid of gay people that they're just throwing drugs at people saying, yeah, this will cure your gay. Joe, your thoughts.
You said, he didn't meet all these requirements for as a doctor. Like, he didn't have a follow-up appointment. He didn't have a prior medical history.
Right.
This drug was meant for people who suffered from prostate cancer.
Right.
And this kid, he's 18 years old, did not have prostate cancer. He was given it to him to make him limp. He was giving it to him so that his dick would no longer work as a cure for being gay.
Yeah.
Now, there is no such thing as a gay cure because gay is not a disease.
Right. The religious nuts, they think it is.
Exactly. They think it's like, oh, it's a choice. Oh, you need to be cured of it. No. This doctor is a member of an unnamed conservative Christian sect. And so this is another example of religious beliefs being used to justify harm on another person.
Yes.
And this is definite harm. He's denying this guy who he is and his sexuality and his sexual life. He's giving him pills and he's like, here, take these. And you know what? You're not going to be gay anymore. And you're going to be moral and you're going to go to heaven.
Right.
No, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. It's
absolutely
complete bullshit.
It's bullshit.
So, I mean, this is the same as... I would put this in the same category as stoning somebody for infidelity or denying a child medical care for religious beliefs. You're using a belief to harm another person, and that's just wrong.
Yes.
It's just wrong.
Exactly. It is wrong. We would go to Medusa, but we've had some technical issues tonight, and I've been kicked offline about several thousand times tonight. So we've kind of lost Medusa for the rest of this evening, so it's just going to be Joe and I for the rest of the night. So... yeah, this is terrible. This should not. They shouldn't be. This guy. I'm glad that they take him out. And this is another lady. Just giving another example. In May of this year, a Christian psychotherapist in England lost her license, her appeal against the ruling of the British Association for Counseling and Psychotherapy back in 2009 in an undercover investigation that she was found trying to provide gay conversion therapy through counseling. There is nothing wrong with being gay, folks. I'm not gay. Joe, you're not gay either, I'm assuming. But there's nothing wrong with that. I've known gay people. I lived next to them when I lived in Madison. They were nice people. I've never had an issue with gay people.
You know, you assume that I'm straight.
Oh, Joe, why didn't you say so? I'm
well, you know.
We get hooked up! No, I'm just kidding.
but you know, gay rights is a human rights issue.
Yes,
and
it is.
I'm a secular humanist, and I believe in equal rights for everybody, and regardless of your gender or race or orientation or background or, you know, anything, any of those things, you know, it doesn't matter. We're all individuals, and we all have the same rights. So mm-hmm. That's, you know, it is just... craziness.
Yes, absolutely. And everybody has human rights, and this is a human right. It's not just a gay right, it's not a straight right, it's a human right.
Exactly. Right. I mean, if we deny the rights from one group of people, we're denying the rights to all groups of people, because who's to say, you know, it's like they came for the Jews, but I said nothing because I wasn't a Jew.
Right. I've seen this.
Yeah, it's a famous quote, and, you know, it's like the abortion issue. They're coming for the women, and I say nothing because I'm not a woman. No, I'm going to say something because they have the right for control over their own bodies.
Yep.
Just like gay people have the right for control over their own bodies and who they are in love with and who they marry.
Right.
Things like that. It's you know.
Yeah, and it's who you love shouldn't matter if, you know, if they're another man or another woman. I mean, there's those people out there that will argue that, you know, if you allow gay marriage, then they're gonna allow man on dog and man on horse, and no, that's not the same thing, because we can't communicate with animals like that. We don't know. I mean, we have interaction with them, but like that, you don't know. For an animal, it's instinctive. It's not
right.
It's not the same conscious thought.
Equating homosexuality with bestiality is bigotry.
Exactly.
It's bigotry because they're not the same thing. Exactly. They are not the same thing.
Exactly. And you're right. It's not the same thing. But there's a lot of people out there who would equate that with that.
It's all about this thing called informed consent. Mm-hmm. When two human beings have sex with each other, whether gay or straight, they have informed consent. Both people agree that they're going to do this thing and they're going to be intimate with each other. That's why pedophilia is not okay, because the child does not have informed consent. They do not have the ability to make that decision. So if someone goes and sticks their dick in a dog or a horse or something, that's not the horse or the dog does not have informed consent. They have no idea why. Like, oh, you're going to give me a treat? Whoa! Hello!
So, and it's the same thing. You know, you let your Todd Akin, who thinks that you know, it's a legitimate rape. You know,
legitimate rape.
Yeah, then it's consent. At least asshole. On one party's part. You know, yeah, he is an asshole. He's totally an asshole. All right, well, let's get on to our next story here before we lose our internet connection completely. there's a young girl. She's about, well, one story says she's 14 and one says she's 11, but apparently she has a small mental issue, supposedly. And she's a Christian, you know. That's not the big issue here.
From a Christian family, but supposedly she has Down syndrome.
Right, supposedly has Down syndrome.
And she lives in Pakistan. Yeah. That's the big thing here.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was just getting to. Because she lives in Pakistan, and they have the anti-blasphemy laws over there. Now, what she was accused of was taking pages from the Quran and burning them or whatever, or ripping them up. And the cleric, it turns out that there's a cleric over there that made the story up. He lied. And because he's assuming something that didn't happen, and he just said, well, she must have tore them up. She must have burned these pages. So over there, if you burn their book, their holy book, then it's death. I don't mean like in, oh, well, you're going to get 50 lashes, you're going to get ostracized from the community. No, it's death. And the religious people over here in the United States, a lot of these people think that they want to push religion to make religion law in this country. If you want to see what religion does to a country, look at Pakistan. Take a long, hard look at their political system around blasphemy and religious nuttery. This is not the way to go. Another thing here, a lot of people are saying that they're saying that the cleric in the mosque has been oppressed, and he is not at fault. He is innocent. He's the one who's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that if they charge him, that they're going to, there's going to be a riot. They're blaming the girl, even though this guy has been proven to be a liar. Oh, it's still not his fault. It's the little girl's fault. Really, really? See, this is why people I feel for a lot of people who stand up to Islam. Because of this stupidity of the religion. Religion overall is stupid. And beliefs like this it's just basic ignorance. Because you're believing doctrine written over 2,000 years ago, or even, you know, 50 years ago by some guy who thought he could stick a gold plates and supposed gold plates into a magic hat. and then read something that's not there, and then have to do it. There's a whole lot more to that. I'm not going to get into that right now. But
we're talking about Islam.
Yeah, we're talking about Islam. All right, not about that one. Right, move on. the thing is, though, these Muslims over there, because of their religious laws, they are trying to get this little girl killed. And there's been instances where if for whatever reason they throw out the case, they say that, you know, you're not going to get death. They put her back out on the street, and because these other people are so fucked up in the head, and they're so religiously got that switch turned on and welded down, that they will go off and they will kill that person. There was a minister over there, and he tried to get these blasphemy laws changed. And his own bodyguards killed him. And they said, well, we did it for Allah. Really?
Some bodyguards,
yeah. And they were unrepentive. I hate using that word, but they didn't care. It's like, I'm doing it because of my God says so. This is why religion is harmful. People don't seem to understand that, which is makes no sense to me. Joe, your thoughts?
All right. This girl, she's very young. She's in her early teens. They're not exactly sure how old she is. Like you said, she's between 11 and 14.
Right.
She probably has Down syndrome. If she doesn't have Down syndrome, which is a genetic disorder from birth, they said that she is definitely younger in her mentality than she is in her age. She has a diminished mental capacity in some way. And she is being accused, she's from a Christian family, she's being accused of burning pages of the Quran.
Yep.
And her neighbors witnessed this imam who was arrested.
Yep.
That's what the story is about. The imam was arrested.
Mm-hmm.
The imam was witnessed placing torn pages of the Quran into her bag, which contained burned papers and burned rubbish for some reason.
Yeah.
Her bag of burned rubbish.
Apparently she was going through the rubbish and collecting stuff because, you know, when you got a mental handicap like that, you just start picking up. You could pick up stuff you think is valuable for no reason. It's not valuable. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, I mean, this bag, whatever it was her possession. So the ripped pages of the Quran were with burned rubbish in her bag. And so he accused her of burning Quran. And she was arrested for blasphemy, because blasphemy in Pakistan is against the law.
Yep.
And she could potentially face death for this.
Yep.
In Pakistan, many people face these loosely worded, very vague blasphemy laws.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the courts even throw out the charges on appeal, but then the public kills the person anyway as they're leaving the courthouse. They'll gun them down or stone them to death or just beat them until they're dead because they were at least accused of blasphemy. Now, in this case, the imam is accused of planting the evidence for this girl to be blasphemous.
Yep.
And everybody's out there saying, like you said, he's innocent. He's being oppressed. He's being oppressed for planting evidence. He's being oppressed. What? You know, that's bullshit.
I mean,
why this guy decided to do this is besides the point. The fact that Pakistan has anti-blasphemy laws punishable by death is barbaric.
Yes.
It's barbaric. I mean, they're sitting here placing the value of shreds of paper, of books. I mean, I'm against book burning, but they're placing the value of a book above a human life. And they're looking to execute people because they might speak out against Muhammad or speak out against the Quran or damage the Quran in some way with fire or with other means. It's just bullshit. It's complete bullshit. I mean, we're so lucky to live in a Western society where blasphemy is okay, where we can celebrate it with a holiday every year as atheists.
Yep.
So, I mean, I love Blasphemy Day. I think it's funny as hell on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, man, the tweets are so funny. But yeah, I mean, yeah, some people in this world really live in really harsh conditions that are dangerous, very dangerous. I mean, just your own words can put you to death.
Yes, absolutely. And that's really sad that they can are allowed to do this. This is why religion is dangerous. Some people have cognitive dissonance when it comes to beliefs, and beliefs matter. They do matter.
I know exactly what you're saying. People always say, like, well, why don't you just let me believe what I believe? And it's like, well, yeah, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but, you know, if you're going to believe and then you're going to try and legislate it, or you're going to try and impose it on other people, or you're going to try and harm other people with it, then hello, like, no, absolutely not.
Right. Exactly. And it's disgusting that people think that beliefs, you know, can just let me believe. Well, if you're going to take, you know, if your beliefs are dangerous, then there's something wrong with that belief. That's all there is to it. All right. Well, let's get on to our next topic. Our funny tweet tonight comes from Weird Ralph. He says, my cousin says he knows all the state capitals. For instance, the capital of Wyoming is W.
That's actually funny.
I know the capital of Wisconsin is W, too.
So the defeat of Nazi Germany is the capital of Wisconsin?
Yes. do you have any other thoughts on that, Joe?
The capital of New York is NY.
Yeah, yes.
Actually,
it is.
It's A.
A.
Albany.
That's right. All right, well, let's get into our next topic. Hey, you guys! Our shout out tonight comes from Joe. And Joe, your shout out is for Bob Carmody. That's BobCarmody. Joe, can you tell us a little bit about Bob Carmody?
Yeah, Bob is a guy that we followed each other since. I say this a lot about people I shout out. Since I got into Twitter and the atheism community on Twitter, he and I followed each other for a while. And he's a really great guy. He's involved in the gay rights community and the atheist community. His profile says gay, atheist, evolutionist, humanist, geek, and skeptic. Converts prog rock, films, words, music, passive and active, fire sign theater, and he lives in Philadelphia. So he's an East Coast native, and I believe he's told me one time he used to live in the Hudson Valley where I live. So
that's cool.
Yeah, and he retweets a lot. He talks to a lot of the people who are in the atheist community on Twitter. And, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people listening to this would be like, oh, I know that guy. So, yeah, he's mad cool. And if you don't follow him, you should give him a follow.
All right, definitely. Yeah, if you're out on Twitter, and if you're not on Twitter, why don't you give Barb Carmody a shout? And that's BobCarmody, and tell him you heard him on the show. All right, let's get into our next topic.
Excuse me.
I have a question.
I have a question, sir.
What are you doing? I'm asking you a question.
Our question from last week is, if you were to travel to the future to rebuild human civilization and you could only take three books with you, what three books would you take? And we had one reply, and that was from Wizard of Todd. And he says, in all honesty, I think if I'm able to rebuild the world in the future, I would bring with me a generator to help me out. Oh, didn't think of that. And then I would bring Google Books with me. However, if I couldn't, three books I would bring to the future would be The Republic by Plato.
Nice.
Two, The Hero with a Thousand Faces by Joseph Campbell. And three, A Brief History of the Universe by Stephen Hawking.
Wow.
So those are some good books.
Todd had some good choices.
Yes, he does.
Did you read my three choices last week?
Yes, I did.
I didn't get a chance to listen to last week's show yet.
Oh, yeah. I read yours right out. Yours are the first ones I read out. So
awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. I wanted you to get yours in. All right. The question for this week is from me. And I says, what is the weirdest or the funniest piece of email spam you have ever gotten? Joe, what is the weirdest or funniest piece of email spam you've ever gotten?
You know, it's funny that you asked that question this week, because I got an email today, and it turns out I'm the lost crown prince of Lux Wannaberg.
Really?
And I am entitled to inherit $30 million.
Wow.
Yeah,
you and can all buy I have
to
set. Do is
wire them $10,000 to an account in Switzerland for the processing fee. Oh. So I'm real excited because, you know, woohoo! I'm a millionaire now, and I'm also a prince, and I can't wait. I'm probably gonna go live in my castle and do this podcast from my castle.
There you go.
And I'll be donating to the show, Packard Pokes At.
There we go.
WordPress.com. Hit the donate button. You know, maybe $10 million.
Yep.
You can buy some illegal maple syrup with that.
Gotta love that maple syrup, especially coming from Canada, you know.
You gotta love spam emails.
Some of the weirdest emails I got, or I generally get, are the ones that from the saying, "Oh, you got the Lord has prayed for you and found you a mate. Just log into your Christian website where there are." It's like, yeah, really? God found a mate for me on your website, even though I'm an atheist? How does that
find
work?
God's match for you on ChristianMingle.com. Okay, so God has a plan. And his plan is that I have to give money to some private company that has a website so that he can show me my mate.
Yeah.
my soulmate.
Yeah, that's it. The Christian Mingle one. That's the one I was thinking of.
There's a great meme that went around, and I tweeted it a couple times. I felt bad because it's kind of cheesy, but it showed a picture of a woman, and she was wearing a T-shirt that said, you know, the world is ending on May 21st, 2011, and underneath it had the Christian Mingle logo.
Oh, jeez.
And when I saw it, I laughed so hard. I tweeted it twice, and I'm like, I feel so bad tweeting this because it's kind of offensive. It's like you know, like, oh, I shouldn't do that as a gentleman. But at the same time, I was just like, it's Christian Mingle.
Just to be clear, you weren't attacking her or the religion. Exactly. You were just attacking the site.
I was making an ideological point.
Right. Against the site, mainly. So, but yeah. Dawkins says he gets spam offering him a bigger penis. I don't know why, but I like offering free. That's like offering free fuel to somebody who never gets to dry it anywhere. Oh, I like that. Thumbs up, dog.
Offering free fuel to somebody who never gets to drive anywhere.
Yes.
Well, you know, Dawkins' dog is on Christian Mingle.
Oh, yeah.
He totally uses up those Christian ladies.
Yes.
Yeah. He's just like, yo, what's that's up? I'm Dawkins' dog. Yeah. And they're like, oh, dog.
That's where you find the repressed women. They're just like, they're waiting to bust out.
Like, it's okay, you're an atheist. I'm on Christian Mingle.
Me Fluff says, I didn't even know I had a penis. Yes. You know, you get the ones that say penis enlargement. So, yeah, if you have an answer for what is the weirdest or funniest piece of email spam you've ever gotten, just put it in the comment section below out here on YouTube, or send it to me on Twitter, or send it to me or Joe. You could probably send it to Mudus too. I don't know if she's going
to
hear this.
Send
part,
it to Packard. I'm going to lose it.
Oh, yeah. Send it to me. Definitely send it to me. Or put it in the comments below, or put it at the website at packardpokesat.wordpress.com. All right. Well, that's it. Wow. We waited a long time just to finish off the show. And that took us less than half an hour. All right. Well, let's...
Thank you so much to all the chat room people who stuck around. I know you guys are really frustrated, and you guys are troopers.
Yes, and you don't even know. While I was offline, I was almost pulling my hair out here trying to get the show back up in line. You have no idea. But I do appreciate everybody that stuck around and was able to stay with us.
I can't believe you fixed it.
I didn't fix it. I just made several phone calls and... Just try to get them to fix it.
I've stuck around through the rain delays of Packard Pokes At myself a few times. Mm-hmm. When I was in the chat room myself, I mean, I've you know, I'm like, all right, you know, whatever. I'll just talk to everybody in the chat room. Blah 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 blah. You know, tonight, like, I was actually debating, like, all right, this isn't gonna get fixed. The guy's gonna come out on Monday.
Yep.
Packard's not going to get anybody out there tonight, and somehow you got it working again.
I don't know what they. I really don't know what they did. You had the magic touch. I really think someone took out a pole and just, you know, they just decided to fix it. They were just out fixing it. So I don't know.
It was probably the prayers from the chat room.
Oh yeah, the prayers.
They were holding hands with each other, praying for the internet connection. You know, God is fickle. You know, AIDS in Africa and starvation around the world, that doesn't matter. So long as internet connections work after you pray for them.
Yep. So I saw some of that in the chat room earlier. It's like, okay. You guys go ahead. Say whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. They prayed real hard. They prayed like monsters.
Yeah. No, I was listening to this one podcast real briefly. This guy, he's a Christian. He thinks that atheists are actually closer to God than Christians are. I was like, what? No. And the guy, it was on the Thinking Atheist. He said, he was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. He's like, no. So God must be listening to the atheist prayers, I guess.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Let's say you're God, and you're getting prayers from people who believe in you without any question, and you're getting talked to from people who absolutely have no belief in you at all.
Uh-huh.
You're going to pay attention to the naysayers first. You'll be like, all right, guys, what's the problem?
Yeah.
I know. Africa, I know. All right, what? You want your traffic light changed quicker? You want your internet connection restored? All right. You know what? Yes.
You get service first because you don't bug me as much.
The people who love me without anything, whatever, they can wait.
Yeah.
The people who hate me, the haters, I need to satisfy you first.
Right, because I can prove that I'm real, you know. I got to prove these people that don't believe me, I got to prove I'm real. That's why I'm doing it. Yeah, we're kind of off topic here.
It's not off topic.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I said this at the beginning of the show. I'm going to say it again. Next week, we are going to be on Justin, or not going to be on Justin TV anymore. We're going to be over on Ustream. The address is ustream.tv/channel/PackardPokesAt. It will be on at the same time. It'll just be a different channel. So if you haven't signed up for an account over at Ustream, please do so now. And if you would like that, is if you want to come over and chat with us. I don't know if you need a chat an account to just listen in, but if you do, you know, please sign up and we'll be able to talk with you there. Also, while you're out signing up for things, go over to my website at packardpokesat.wordpress.com, and there's a donation button, and just click on that, and you know, if you can put in a few dollars to help keep the show running. But if you can't, there's a link on the web page. It's not linked. You actually have to copy and paste it into a web browser. And then just hit return. It'll bring up an ad for about 5-7 seconds. And then it'll be a little skip button in the upper right-hand corner. Just click that, and it'll take you back to packardpokesat.wordpress.com. And that helps generate a few, very few half pennies for the show. And then, you know, once it gets accumulated, you can hopefully put some money back into the kitty here so I can, you know, afford to do, you know, the things I need to take care of here. But anyway, I do appreciate everybody sticking around, especially the chat room. Thank you so very much for sticking around through all the technical difficulties. You didn't need to do that, but I'm so glad you did.
And Packard, I think on our last night at Justin TV, we should have a moment of silence for the island of Tuvalu.
Oh, they keep sinking, the non-sinking island.
They have finally sunk into the ocean. Their internet connection is gone. That is why we're leaving Justin TV.
Yes.
The island of Tuvalu no longer exists. There are 3 athletes at the Olympics this year, were their last Olympics. So, yes, the island of Tuvalu, great tragedy.
Yes.
They are now the new city of Atlantis.
Yes.
So 2,000 years from now, when you hear about the lost city of Tuvalu, it was this internet connection and this website.
Yes. And Packard Pokesat.
A vital part of the lost city of Tuvalu.
Sure, why not? Anyway, if you want to reach us, we're on Twitter. If you're not on Twitter, why aren't you? You can reach Joe on Twitter as
I'm Joe Unseen, JoeUnseen.
Right. If you want to reach Medusa, who's not here, it's Medusa Rant at MEDUSA_RANTZ. If you would like to reach me, it's Packard_Sonic. That's PACKARD_SONIC. If you want to get the show notes, go to PackardPokesAt.wordpress.com. If you want to get the show announcements, go to PackardPokesAt on all one word on Twitter, and you can follow that one there. And I post when the show is going to be up and when the show is finally out. I thank you again, once again, everybody for sticking around. You've been so kind to me. I greatly appreciate it. So remember, we're saying goodbye to Justin TV tonight for the last, maybe not for the last time. Depends if they get their act together or not. If they do, then we may be back. But until then, we're going to be over on Ustream .tv. So long, Justin TV. Hello, Ustream. And we will see you next week. So if anybody and speaking of one more thing, if anybody tells you a rumor that we're not going to be on, ask me first. I had several people say wondering if I was going to be on. Ask me. Don't go by rumor. I'll give you the facts.
And if you want to start a rumor about this podcast, let me know, and I'll tell you what kind of rumors you need to start.
Yeah. Next week on Packard Pokes At, you will see Richard Dawkins. He's going to make an online appearance. He's going to sit right here. No, I'm just kidding.
Whoops.
I'm bouncing my microphone around here. I'm so giddy now. Sorry.
I just spit across my table.
Lovely. This has been Packard Pokes At. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.